In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." End of quote. Do not weep. Those words, in a way, encompass the purpose of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the God-man coming into the world, and why God the Father would send his Son, and in the end send also the other great gift, the Paraclete. Jesus of Nazareth came into the world. Why? Well, we see it in the book of Revelation, to wipe away every tear, to take away all pain, to heal all pain, and as the Lord said, to lighten the burden that's been placed on us after Adam and Eve sinned. The Lord came to a town of Nain, and before him was a funeral procession. Here was a widow, no other children. This is her only son, and she was taking him to the grave. With that movement toward the grave were all of her hopes, all of her aspirations, all of her dreams. When her son was going to be laid in the grave, so was basically her life. Who was going to take care of this widow now? That procession was a procession unto death. And it was making its way through the gates of a city, a town, maybe a village. This is not only the tragic account of a widow. St. Luke includes this particular event in his gospel because it really is an account about you and me, about every single human being is born into this world. Yes, life does have its moments of beauty. Life will also have its moments of ugliness. There will be moments of nobility and there will be moments of ignobility. There's the ugliness or the ignobility of suffering and death. This is what all of us are born into. This is the world in which we are born into. It's the ancestral curse, as our fathers, the Greek fathers, tell us. The ugliness brings profound grief to the human heart. None of us wants to die. And when we are faced with the reality of death, we grieve and we're afraid. We shake and tremble. And a world without God is a world that's on its way to the grave. That's perhaps one of the things that Moses was teaching us when he wrote those first few chapters in Genesis, well, chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they found themselves outside the garden. What did they come to know was death. And a world without Jesus the Christ is what? A world that only knows the darkness of death. Almost a hopelessness, as we talked about in the Faith Formation Nights, reading Shmaimon. Time, without Christ, where is time going? It's just a cycle of life and death, and there's no way out of it. Christ came into the world, and what did he do? He gave time a new meaning. Now there's a beginning, and it's moving not into death, and due to the abyss of darkness, into Sheol or Hades. No, life because of Christ now has an end. It's moving toward ultimate, true, and authentic, lasting joy. And so what do we have today? A second procession. St. Luke depicts a second procession. It's Jesus, our Lord and God, Savior, Savior, and his disciples, and another crowd who's accompanying him. And both of these processions meet at a gate. Let's not just overlook this as, oh, it's just like one little disc. No, they're meeting at the gate. What's a gate? It's an entry, in or out. And what does the Lord leading his procession say? When the Lord saw her, quote, he had compassion or mercy on her and said to her, do not weep. End of quote. And then St. Luke records that he moved forward and he touched the bier, the stretcher. And then he said, quote, young man, I say to you, arise. And that young man who was dead, who had no spiration, breath, sat up and he was given new breath, the new breath of life, and so he was able to speak. Indeed, some 2,000 years ago, two processions met at a gate. And at the head of one was a corpse, symbolizing despair and grief, sorrow, helplessness, hopelessness of humankind. The head of the other procession was Jesus the Christ, the one who has come to stop our tragic journey into the grave. He came into this world to offer a hope, peace, salvation, coming from that Latin word I say it all the time, salvation, solus, healing. Salvation means healing of the whole person and ultimately giving us life eternal. The evangelist St. Luke then recounts that after the dead man sat up and began to speak, note another simple little phrase, but a profound phrase, Jesus gave the son to his mother, gave him. He just didn't restore this man to life. He raised this young man from the dead. And by doing that, the God-man is showing us something. If he can bring somebody to life in the way he has lordship over that life, and he gives that son back to his mother as a gift. A gift. Today's gospel passage then shows our Lord and Savior Jesus of Nazareth's authority and mercy, authority and mercy, triumphing over death. And in fact, all three gospel accounts, the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but also all the gospels, they all describe someone who's died. The other two accounts are raising the daughter of Jairus and then raising Lazarus from the dead. And all three of those accounts, those events of raising somebody from the dead, we see the experience of mercy for the mourner and how the Lord sees the suffering of the mother, sees the suffering of the friends, sees the suffering of a father. And we are given a glimpse into the heart of God, how he's moved by our suffering, and he will work miracles. Our suffering grabs the attention of the Lord. And though we may look in our world today and we see so much injustice and so much anger and hate and suffering, let us never forget that it does grab the heart of God. This God who does stop the procession of death, including spiritual death. Yes, when we've sinned and sinned seriously, God never abandons the sinner. He came to stop death both in body and in soul and in spirit and in mind. So we have the great gift of holy repentance, confession. So a final observation about these three cases of restoring people to life. They cover actually the three stages of physical death. The first account is Jesus the Christ raising the daughter of Jairus. Let's remember, she was only lying on her bed. And then we come to the event of today, Nain, where a young man has died and he's on the bier proceeding to the grave site. And then the final one is with Lazarus, who is already in the grave. He's in the sepulcher. He's decomposing. What are the gospel writers trying to teach us? That Jesus the Christ has absolute authority over death in all of its stages, whether it's physical death or spiritual death. He is, as he told Martha, the resurrection and the life. The Lord teaches, quote, "Whoever believes in me, though they die, they shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Christ is among us.